Yes, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Doing pretty well? That's good. I mean, if you don't know, if I haven't met you before, or if you're new to our church, my name is Brandon, and I am typically up here. I'm the music and tech director, or I'm at the back helping out in that regard, but today I get to talk to you, get to share what's on my heart, share what's God's placed on my heart, and it's usually, I get like one a year. Usually when Matt's gone, he's like, Brandon, you're my guy. And so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing necessarily, but I'll take it, and we'll get into it this morning. And so a few weeks back, I was catching up with one of my best friends. He lives in Vancouver now, and we haven't talked in quite a long time, and so we're just catching up. I'm telling him what's new in my life, which is a few different things. I got a new baby 3 months ago. We just moved like a week and a half ago. So like, yes, like lots of things. It's a full season. I have lots going on. And so we're just kind of going back and forth, and so he's telling me he got a promotion, which is pretty cool. I was like, nice, good work, buddy. And then, of course, the not so good news is he tells me that the person that he was dating, they're no longer together. So sad. But he said it was for good, and it was for the right reasons. But anyways, and so he's talking about this, and we're going back and forth, and he's like, man, my focus this summer is I'm going to get shredded again. I'm going to get in shape. That's my goal. That's what I'm focusing on, because he was saying, he's like, I find myself, I'm just been drinking pop, just so much soda pop, and he's just super unhealthy, not doing super well. And before he got in this relationship, he was definitely in the best shape of his life. He was eating right. He was fit. He's doing really well. And then, sure enough, this happens. You know, you get in a relationship. There's something new in your life, and the priorities start to shift away from working out, being healthy, to this relationship. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? It's okay. It's exciting. You want to spend time with that person, and so you know your priority starts to shift, and you slowly kind of get into a different realm. And so I can relate to that, because I've been trying to get back in shape. I'm not in the worst shape, but I've definitely been in better shape. And so I've been trying to get back into shape for, I don't know, since what, a year or so, Kim? I think I said September comes around, I'm going to be teaching again, maybe teaching some PE. I want to lead by example for my students, you know, and I definitely, here we come, year comes by, August, September's coming back around, and you know, could be a little bit better. I even went as far as to buy some new shoes. You know, I needed some new shoes. I'm like, you know, get some new shoes. That's gonna get me going, get me running again, and faster. Guess how many times I've used those new shoes? Once for running, and then the other time was for moving. So I haven't been that successful at that. And I think a lot of you could probably relate in some form or function to trying to get back in shape, whether that be trying to eat better, trying to get started on something new, or going back to an old hobby or something like that. You can probably relate to the difficulty of trying to reestablish that habit, trying to get back into the rhythm of things. It's not so easy. As human beings, we seem to be fairly cyclical in nature. You know, we go around the mountain again, and we're dialed in for one season, maybe not so dialed in for another season. And I find that a little bit frustrating. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. Because I want to be locked in, I want to have that discipline, but it's not so easy. And so as I was thinking about this and having that conversation with my friend, I thought about my quiet time and my personal time with the Lord, and how oftentimes when things are busy and things are really difficult, you got lots of things going on, not only does like sometimes what you're doing for your eating or your working out seems to go by first, but sometimes we start to push off our quiet time with the Lord. Seems to be we get really busy, we've got so much going on, and they're not inherently bad things, but it very quickly gets pushed away and kind of falls down the to-do list or the priority list. And so this is what I kind of want to talk to us about today, because I think it's something that it happens in different stages of our lives. we want to kind of re-engage with that and kind of focus in on this time with God, because that time with God is so incredibly important. And in today's society, I think it's probably one of the most difficult times. There are so many things pulling at us. There's work, responsibilities with family, with friends. There's obviously all of the access that we have for information, and it's pulling and it's noisy. And so how can we focus? So what I want to do today is look at a few books, a few things that I've kind of read that kind of speak to that. And most specifically, look at a Bible story, one of my favorite Bible stories. So let's dig in. We are going to read in Luke chapter 10, okay, verses 38 to 42. And this is the story about Mary and Martha. Okay, these are brother of Lazarus, or sorry, the sisters of Lazarus, I should say, and one of Jesus' best friends, the disciples. He just sent out the 72. He talked about the Good Samaritan, and then this is where we arrive at in the story. So you could put that scripture up there. So as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, if you have siblings, you probably might remember the time where you're like, "Oh, Ashley's not doing anything. Can you go make her do something? She's not helping me with the chores." And so I kind of get that picture, that feeling here. Martha's not happy with Mary. And she's like, "Jesus, come on. This is what she should be doing. She should be helping me." And this is how Jesus responds. "Martha, Martha," lots of care there. "The Lord answered, 'You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Some other translations say that, "Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away. Or there's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has found it." And so there's a lot of things that we could take away from this scripture, but a little bit of context just for that time. Women in that part of time were supposed to be taking care of the home. Okay, they were supposed to be serving the disciples or the teacher, whoever was in the home. And so already, Mary's like, no. She knows what she wants. She has that priority. She's going right to the foot of Jesus. So she's already forsaking her duty, essentially, for something that she finds very, very important. She's seeing who's in the room and that importance and going right to the source, right? The other thing is that typically women would not be sitting at a rabbi or a teacher's feet. That just wouldn't happen. They might be around in the synagogues, they might be around the teaching, but they definitely would not be sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so that also is significant too, that Jesus is allowing this, again, countercultural, that he's allowing Mary to sit there and to soak up what's going on. And so Mary has discovered that one thing, the one thing to focus on, and even though there were all those things that she could do, her first priority was to sit at the feet of Jesus. In several commentaries and in the kind of the footnotes of that scripture, it points to the one thing. And if we go into that scripture in Matthew, people are asking Jesus about this. He replied, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on those two commandments." And so it's pointing to that one thing that Mary found that is so special is Jesus. That first commandment is like sitting there soaking up. And that time with God. God, that time at Jesus' feet, is the meal that she really needs. So yes, there's all those preparations and these things that are happening. The meal, she recognized the meal and what she needs to sustain in her life is Jesus. That he has everything. And so we want to follow that example of Mary and put Jesus and that time first, because it will give us everything that we need. Even though, and that's the beautiful thing about God, even though he doesn't need to give us anything because of what he's done, he gives us those beautiful things and he fulfills us when we spend time with him. And that's pretty cool. And if we look at Martha, she was doing what she was supposed to do. Culturally, it was she should be working, she should be setting up the house, she's working for the Lord, she's wanting to serve Jesus and all of the disciples. And so there is those times that like she's not way off, she's not doing something completely wrong, but she is missing out, she's distracted by all the things around us. And that's the thing that I find about today, and you probably might find as well, is that there's so many things pulling, there's so much noise, there's pulling at our attention, and so sometimes it's really hard to just sit, stop, slow down, and spend some time with the Lord. And so as we can recognize what's happening and the different stages and the different seasons of our lives, how can we get there into spending some more time with him? And so this access to information that we have, obviously everybody knows that we have these little devices in our pockets. And I don't want to harp on these things, because these things are not, these can be a tool. We have access to so much information. It allows us to be connected. Well, it's supposed to help us be connected, but a lot of the times this tool has kind of led us astray. And not necessarily the phone itself, internet, shows, all of the different things, media, all of these things kind of are pulling at us and cause us to be a little chaotic. I think you might agree. And so we have to, with all of this power, as I quote Uncle Ben from Spider-Man, comes great responsibility, okay, to Peter Parker. We must do what we can to control those things and to listen and focus on the good thing. And the funny thing about all of this, like I was saying before, is that when we give God the time that he deserves, we will likely have a better day and a better time as a result of being with him. Isn't that so true? We will likely be more patient with our family or our coworkers, have a better focus when whatever we're doing or trying to achieve. We might maintain a centered perspective, and we might be a little bit more positive, have a more positive outlook. All of those things are characteristics of the Lord, those gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit that is in you. And as you spend time with the Holy One, you sit at his feet, those things start to rub off, and your character slowly becomes a little bit more like him. And I think that's what we all want. We all want to be more patient. We all want to be able to mirror Jesus and God in our lives to the world around us, to our families, to our friends. And I think that I know that all that comes back is when we follow that first commandment. Honor the Lord with all our heart. Focus on him first. So, one of my favorite sermons and books was written by a guy named Eric Samuel Tim. He used to come to these youth conventions. He's also an amazing painter. He does these, during worship and music time, he has these big canvases up on stage, and he's painting away. He's spray painting. He's throwing things at the canvas, and you don't really know what he's doing. You're like, that looks a little weird, bud. I don't know what's going on there. But then at the end, he flips the painting over, and it's this beautiful kind of illustration of, like, might be, he usually takes someone from, like, culture, so Marvel, like Thor, and then kind of weaves it into something to do with God and how he is and how his sermon is. But anyway, so he has this awesome book. It's called Static Jedi. It's a really good book. It talks about how can we be focused with all the noise that's happening around us. How can we, you know, hone in on the one true thing? So one of the illustrations that he talks about in his book and he talked about in his sermon was, how do we spend our time? Time is a lot like money. You only have 24 hours in a day. How are we going to spend our time? And so I thought, get some dollar bills here, some American ones, because like if I had a bunch of loonies, that's like kind of clunky. And so I thought I would just do the American. This was actually fairly expensive too, as you obviously know. It's like $20 does not, or $23 does not go quite as far. It's like $32 or something. Like that's crazy. That's another thing anyway. But so let's think about this. Think about the time that you spend in your day, okay? We should probably sleep, generally a good thing. So how long should we sleep? 8 hours? How many of you actually get 8 hours though? That'd be a question. A few of you. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 probably should be 8. So we'll put that there. Then how many of you go to school or work? I'd say most of you. And how long are we typically at school or work for? 6, 7, 8 hours. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. What are we at? Nice, we're getting a little math lesson here. I didn't even mean for that to happen. There's the teacher coming out. So we're at 16 hours. How much do we have left? 8 hours. You should eat a couple meals. How long do you think that would take? Maybe 2 hours? And at 1 hour? Depends if you're cooking up, if you're like, you know, really Chef Boyardee-ing it. Probably not Chef Boyardee, but you know what I mean. If you're really getting it going there, maybe 1 or 2 hours. So we're at 18 hours. Got 6 hours left, okay? Maybe you have to go and work out. Yeah, I was going to say that as well. Maybe more than an hour, but we'll do 1 hour for now. Okay, so we got 4 hours left. Shower? Yeah, probably some just daily care back and forth, driving around, going back and to and from work or whatever. There's an hour there. Okay. Pardon? Got to clean. Okay. Maybe another hour there of cleaning. Maybe cleaning your room, cleaning your house, depending on how old you are. That's probably some time there. Okay, so we got 2 hours left. There's some pretty good shows out there, isn't there? You know? You might want to watch a show or two. You know, you probably planned for maybe an hour, but let's be honest. At least two. And now I'm out of money. Although I do have a couple quarters. And so maybe you got 25 minutes. You're like, okay, I got through the entire day. I didn't spend any time with God. But, you know, something happens. You get called to do clean up a mess. You spilled something. Or a friend calls. 25 minutes there. 25 minutes here, 25 minutes there, we're out of time. And the one thing that really would have helped us, we've just spent all our time on a bunch of other things. Not bad things necessarily, but they're things that are taking and pulling from our time. I have a video. I think it's going to work. Wait, we need some volume first. Okay.
Sorry, I'm just answering a friend back.
You done?
Okay, sorry.
All right, there's something I want to show you in 1 John chapter.
I love this video.
Hey man, you have anything going on this weekend?
Oh, it's good, but it's nothing like my mother's ham this.
Oh my gosh, I gotta go to work.
Really?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't really spend any time with you again, but you know, tomorrow?
Okay. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Love you. Bless me in your son's name. Bye.
Ugh, it stings a little bit because I don't know about you, but there's probably times where you were kind of distracted and things came up and that time with the Lord got pushed to the side. And it happens from time to time, but I think we just need to make sure that we're putting that priority and that focus because it is so important. It is so important to honor him, to spend some time with him because... Yeah, it's that meal that you need. It's that thing that is going to set you up and set your life in the right way. Okay, I gotta move this money out of the way. I should put it on the stage here, but I might have some. Pardon? Some help with the money? Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that would get you very far today, though. I know it wouldn't. Groceries, right? And so, as we kind of go back at that. So you might ask, what's the solution then? Okay, how do we combat this? How do we move forward? And you got to start with baby steps. We got to start small. I think that's a key thing. And, of course, I think when starting small, we need to make sure that there's a bit of a plan. Because I think when you have a plan, we have plans for maybe our budget, we might have plans for the different things in life, but do we ever have like a spiritual, like a faith plan for our practice of what we want to do? I don't know, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but do we have some sort of a plan? And so if we go back to our working out illustration, if you train too hard right away, if you go in, you know, you're going into a huge HIIT class or something like that, you were lifting really heavy first day, what do you think is going to happen? It's not going to go too well. You probably will be bracing on everything that you can find just to try to like sit down, I'd be guessing. So you'd be very, very sore. It's probably going to be very difficult. You know, and you might not be able to carry that momentum into an actual routine, into an actual habit. And so it takes quite a while to establish a habit. And remember, they used to kind of say it takes 2 weeks. And once you're past the 2 or 3 week stage, you got it. It's not true. It wasn't always based on like really good research or anything like that. It probably takes anywhere, depending on who you are, 2, 3 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 2 months to really lock that in. And so it takes some time, and so we want to start small. We want to have some things that we can kind of build with to get some momentum, and then we kind of move forward from there. And so what I want to point you to is, I think Pastor Mike used to speak about this quite a lot, is John practicing the way, and he ran a couple courses about practicing the way, and essentially it's looking at the spiritual disciplines or the spiritual practices, like prayer and fasting and contemplation and spending time with the Lord, and he kind of puts it into a really digestible type of teaching. Okay? And so it's called Practicing the Way. And in John Mark Comer's book, he talks about establishing a rule of life. Okay? And if you don't like rules, you're like, ooh, rules, that's disgusting. Laws, makes me think about all those things. You could call it a habit of life. Call it whatever you wish. But it is essentially it's essentially something to help us guide our spiritual lives. And also other things too. So this is his quote from his book. It's up there. So, we all know the saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, because it captures an acute pain of the human condition. A common feature of the fall is to aspire to a beautiful life, but then fail at the commitment, discipline, and patient endurance required to turn that vision into a reality. Most of us genuinely desire what is good, and I think that about all of us here, but sometimes we fail because we avoid, procrastinate, or make some excuses rather than take the necessary steps to move forward with our heart's desires. And so he's quoting Paul here. I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep doing. We constantly self-sabotage, and this is the great challenge of discipleship. To move forward from those aspirational ideas, those things that we like to do, the plans, the dreams, all of that kind of stuff, and to move forward and actually apply it and make it happen. That's the difficult part. So, you can go to the next slide. So, a rule of life is a map and a path, not a straitjacket. So, a rule is very different from a law that is handed down from that higher power. And it has very little flexibility. A rule is self-generated from your internal desires, and it has a ton of flexibility. That rule is there, kind of gives you a lane to kind of work in, but it's not meant to kind of cripple you. It's meant to kind of help guide you. It has a ton of flexibility. It's relationship-based, so that could be with you, your spouse, your family, whoever you live with or you're walking with, and it's designed to index you toward your vision of a good life. I think that's pretty cool. And I think that's something that I know in different stages of my life when I'm struggling with maybe getting back into that rhythm, when seasons are really busy, and I want to have that time. And I think a lot of you would probably agree that you want to have that quiet time with the Lord, but sometimes it's really difficult. And so when we have that structure there, it can sometimes help point us toward that and get us into the habit where then it starts to get a little bit easier. And for some of you, you might have been doing this for a while, and you've established a really solid rhythm and discipline and time with the Lord. But that was happened over years and years, and probably the ups and downs of all those things, and it kind of all comes together for you at that point in time. So, a rule of life can help us by It'll help you turn vision into reality. It'll help you experience peace as you live in alignments with your deepest desires. It'll help you live at the right pace, because I think that's one of the things that's difficult about today. The pace is really fast. And so how can we lean back into that pace and kind of pull back a little bit? And when we sit with the Lord, that really helps to slow things down, at least in my experience. And it will help you balance freedom and discipline. So as you have that rule, you can kind of play within it, and you can walk it out and kind of achieve what you're trying to do. So once we've taken that personal inventory of our time, we've looked at the money, the time that we spend, we have a bit of a plan, we can start to move forward, and it feel a little bit better. That quiet time, that's going to be difficult, or different, I should say, and maybe difficult for each person. One of my mentors used to say, especially when you're trying to get into that rhythm, sometimes the best thing you can do in the morning is not try to have this like super in-depth study where you're going in really, really deep. It's like, can you just connect your heart to the Lord's? Can you just sit? Can you slow down and just, maybe there's a small scripture that you read that helps kind of point you to him? Or maybe you just close your eyes and you start to have a conversation. Eric Samuel Tim had what he used to do is he'd pour one cup of coffee for him, take out another glass, pour another cup of coffee, sit it down at the table, and then have a conversation with the Lord. That visual thing for him helped kind of dial in that I'm having a conversation with the living, breathing God, and I'm going to sit with him, kind of like Mary did at the feet of Jesus, but it's that relational piece, and just have a conversation. It might lead you to some scriptures, and those deep dive studies of the word, those are things that we need to be doing, and that you need to plan for that accordingly as well. But I think sometimes when it's noisy and there's so many things, the best thing we can do is to take a second to stop, to sit, and just connect your heart with the Lord. And how quickly things shift and how quickly he comes. And it might take a little bit for you to focus, and it might only be 5 minutes at first. You might be able to do a little bit more at each time, but you'll find that it starts to grow and you start to be able to build that. Some of you might not want to sit in silence, and you might want to go out and walk. Maybe as you walk, as you go for a hike, you can take in all of those things and see the beauty of nature, and you're just having that conversation with him. And I think that's something that's, so you got to figure out what that looks like for yourself. And kind of move forward in that way. One of the other things that could help you, I would say, is look at all these people around you. You probably have a connection to someone, to a family, a friend. This is the church. Do it with somebody. Get someone to walk. You could get together and have some quiet time together. That's not a bad thing, or have a study together. But maybe there's someone that you're like, hey, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your friends, like, hey, I would like to try to do this better. Can you help me? And if you have little ones or kids or things that, you know, maybe take up the time and it's kind of frantic and you don't always have that planned moment, you can share the load a little bit and so that you can have that time. And what a beautiful thing to be able to model for your kids too, that, okay, Mom is going to go have some quiet time with the Lord. Dad's going to take care of you. Or invite them in on that and sit with them and show those kinds of things. I think that's pretty special. And so the solution, it isn't rocket science. Evaluate your life. Look at the time that you spend. Make a bit of a plan. Make that rule of life. How can you put the priority of Jesus first and everything else after that? And then if you need to, ask someone for help. There's lots of people that would like to walk with you. If you need to get into a home church or a home group, that's a beautiful thing because we are all doing this together. And it doesn't have this, what we're doing doesn't have to stop just on Sunday, right? The best version of that is that we are out there together connecting with our church family and people here and doing this together. And it's said often, and we kind of come to this first love type of thing, but many of us know what it's like when you're first dating someone. It's exciting. There's that buzz in the air, your heart's racing. Maybe, and it could even be something different, like the thing that you do when you find, when you're on fire and you feel like you're built for it. Whether, and that could even be a sport too. Maybe there's something you feel the most free, that love that you have and that excitement. That's going to be built over time. And as you spend more time with the Lord, that deep, that first love, that love starts to build. And sometimes we get so busy, we get so many things pulling at us, and you're like, oh, and you kind of wake and snap out of it. You're like, oh, I've a little bit further from where I used to be, I'm not having as much quiet time, I'm not kind of digging into that quite as much as I thought, and then we can just gently come back. And remember, did Jesus yell at Martha? Did he criticize her? No, he said, Martha, Martha. There's compassion there. And so there's compassion for all of us. And I think even that video, you could see the way that he, when he was playing God, there was compassion there. He's like, yeah, we'll try again tomorrow. And isn't that who God is, that gentleness that he has, the capacity to wait, even when we choose other things? That he's going to stick there, and he's going to wait it out. And when we choose to walk, sit at his feet, he talks with us, and he interacts with us. But not only that, he goes with you everywhere that you go, right? You can find him whether you're, you know, doing the dishes, you're changing diapers, you're cleaning your house, you're at your job. I remember one of the deepest times that I had when I felt like I was a little bit more dialed in with my walk with the Lord. I was working at Sport Check, and I remember just going to get shoes, and it's just like an ongoing conversation, kind of like the practice of the presence, and you're like, God, thank you. And he's kind of brought, the Holy Spirit just brings himself to your head a little bit more, and you kind of walk as you go, as you're doing the things, you're in communion with him. And I think that's where we all want to be, right? We all want to be there. And so what I want to do is, Kim, could you come back up for a second? I want to practice this a little bit. Kim's going to play a song, and I want us just to sit. I want us to sit at the feet of Jesus and just take some time to just exhale whatever's going on, the distractions, put your phone away, turn off the notifications, whatever you got to do. And let's just sit at the feet of Jesus and follow that example that Mary had for us, that the first things come first and everything else is going to figure itself out. When we put Jesus first, when we put God, that's the meal that we need. That's going to give us everything that we need for the rest of this life. And that's the sweetness. In worship, in these moments here, where sometimes it might feel a little bit, you can feel the tangible presence, hopefully. We get to recognize that. You feel the tangible presence. This doesn't have to just happen here, right? It's going to happen everywhere you go. This can go at home, when you're sitting, wherever you do your quiet time, whatever that looks like, whether you're walking, the communion piece, and sometimes obviously music and that, when we're in this place, it helps because we've kind of set aside this time. So there's that intentionality. But this doesn't have to stop here and on Sunday. We want this to flow into the rest of our lives. So Kim's going to sing a song that speaks to these things. And so, whatever that looks like for you, if you want to just close your eyes, if you want to sit there, if you want to stand, that's okay. But just, I want you to personally just do what you can to just connect your heart to the Lord. Whether you've done this before, you're new to the faith, it's not complicated. You just even just say thank you. Start with those kind of things, the things that maybe you're thankful for. And as you do that, He's gonna minister and connect with you. And even if he doesn't, I think that's one thing that's important, is we don't judge the quiet time or the thing that we have. Because we don't know what that's actually like. And sometimes you're like, oh, I had such a difficult quiet time, I couldn't settle. It's okay. Take the pressure off. Just sit. Engage with the Father, and things are gonna be okay. That might have felt long, that it might have, or maybe it wasn't long enough. That's going to be different for everybody, but I think what we want to do is we just want to stop. We just want to sit. And I think when things are swirling and things are feeling quite busy and you feel like things are slipping, stop and sit. I think simple, doesn't have to be complicated. And depending where you're at with that, maybe you're feeling good about your personal time with God, maybe you're feeling you're not so sure. That's okay. This is just a reminder. As we get into the fall, as things start to kind of pick up again, it's like, how can we focus in? How can we put the first things first? He just put up a couple of those parting thoughts there. I just want to leave this with you, and then I'll pray. Ian. Can you put that slide of just parting thoughts? Yeah. So, again, what might be adding to the noise and distraction in your life? Take that inventory. And then second, what is one small step that you can do to help put a higher priority on spending some time with God? That's your task for today, for this week. How can you put that higher priority? You go to the next one there, Ian. And so as you look to establish that rule of life or get into those habits, give yourself grace and start small. Build towards that habit a day at a time, and maybe try doing it with someone. So Lord, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are with us and you're ever present, and that we have the ability, because of what you did for us, to have that personal relationship, to have that personal connection. That's such a gift. And Lord, we want to walk with you every hour, every minute of every day, and that's really difficult. And so, Lord, we just want to realign and we just want to focus and say, we want to put you first. And so will you help us? Will you help us to give to have that discipline, to have that practice? Because we know that when we are with you, everything else is going to be okay. There might be ups and downs, but when we have that time with you, everything seems to line up. So thank you, Lord. May we stop and sit. We follow the example that Mary set for us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. So thank you for being with us this morning. We're so thankful that you chose to be here. Would you have a great day? Would you have a great week? We look forward to seeing you next time. Bye.